All right, well, before we dive into God's word, let me just go ahead and pray for us real quick. Father, again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your song that you've placed in our hearts, that we can sing before you, that we can just give you glory for. And so would you be with us now, again, as we open up your scriptures, as we dive into what it is that you have to teach us. Again, as we're diving into this series, again, would you give us a fresh perspective on who it is that you want us to be? So again, God, we thank you for this time. We praise you and do all these in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I hope you guys like that. Let me move over a little bit so I'm not being blocked out by that little spot. But again, I hope you guys enjoyed that. It's just something kind of fun to create just to introduce our series. So with that, let me go ahead and start off by saying, I don't know if you realize, but English is actually a very difficult language to learn. For us, as we grew up in the U.S. here, we sometimes take it for granted how well-versed we can be in English. But for non-native speakers, you can search through forums and you'll find people complaining all across the internet just because of several of these things that we'll kind of look at here in just a second. But take a look at these couple of sentences and I'll show you a couple words as well. And it kind of gives us an idea of why English is as difficult as it has been. So the first word that I have here was, or the first sentence is, the door was too close to the table to close. So you have two words that mean two very different things that sound exactly the same. Or, I decided to desert my dessert in the desert. Or, I read that book, but I decided to reread it. She was eating dates on her date. And aside from those, you also have many other words that are spelled completely differently, but they sound exactly the same. Like, there, and there, your and your, by, and by, don't do the in-sync thing, and metal, and metal. So all of these sound exactly the same, but they all have very different meanings. And then the last one that I'll point out here are words that are spelled the same, but then have completely different meanings depending on the context of how you use them. The first one, they're so minute that it doesn't matter, and then every minute counts. That cable was wound up poorly, and that wound looks painful. Her bow is cute, and then bow before the king. Right, these are all things that just make our English language more complex than it probably needs to be. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because this same thing happens in our English Bible. Right? Perhaps the most popular example of this is with the word love. If you've been in the church world for any period of time, you've probably heard the phrase that there are four different words for love in the Greek, which is what our New Testament is written in. It's agape, storge, eros, and philo. And if you're new to church and you haven't heard those before, then just think of how we would say, I love dessert, and that's different than how I would say, I love my wife, and that's still different than how I would say, I love God. But in all three of those examples, we say love. And in the Greek New Testament, there are four ways that you would express, and each one of those would have a different meaning, and you would use a different word. And for our second week here in this series of Fresh, today I wanted to give us a different word that has the same English treatment, and it's the word praise. But instead of in the Greek, we're actually going to be looking in the Hebrew and spending a lot of time in the book of Psalms, where we see lots of praise given, and you see seven different forms of this exact same word that we translate in English. And as we look at those seven different definitions, then we get a better understanding of what it means for us to have a fresh view on how we give praise and worship to God. So the first word that I'll go over here is yada. Yada here is defined as to revere or worship with extended hands. If we look at Psalm 67, 1 through 7, as we get here, pay particular attention to verse 3 and verse 5. So it reads, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise Yada, you. O God, let all the people praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Selah, let the people praise you. O God, let all the people yada you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, let all the ends of the earth fear him. So again, we have this passage in Psalms, and it reminds us that God's mercies and blessings have been bestowed on his people. And it describes God's people coming together and throwing hands of praise to God. And if you've ever been to a graduation, then you've seen our earthly form of how we would yada. That when that wonderful last name is called at the graduation and everyone starts to get a little excited and the announcer comes up and he says, congratulations, class of 20 whatever, you are now graduates. You can move your tassel from this side to that side. And you see everybody start to cheer and you see hats go flying and everybody's excited and everybody's clapping. That is yada, that when people are just excited, that they cannot help but just throw things up, that they cannot help but just be to celebrate in that moment. That is what it means to yada, to have one unifying goal, to have one unifying celebration. And for us, when we gather here at church, we're gathering for one unified goal, for one unified celebration, to bring glory to God. That when we sing out songs or when we hear from God's word, it should dwell within us and cause us to extend our hands to glorify him who set us free. That is what we learn from yada. The second word that we'll look at here is halal. And no, this is not the type of food. That's Arabic. Halal in Hebrew is defined as to boast, to rave, to shine, or to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. Halal here, if you can kind of make sense, is the root word for what we get hallelujah. In Psalm 149:3, it reads, let them halal his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. And while there are other verses that kind of communicate this as well, the one that I want to point to actually doesn't use the word, but it gives us an example of it happening. In 2 Samuel 6, King David is celebrating the Ark of the Covenant returning to the temple. He's celebrating that God's presence is coming home, because for 100 years, the Philistines had conquered and had taken the Ark, and it's now returning back to its home in the temple. And King David is ecstatic. He is dancing and he is yelling and he is jumping around and he is making a fool of himself. So much to the point that his first wife comes and tells him, you are a king, you should not be acting like this, stop acting a fool. And King David turns to her and he says, the foolishness that I've been doing, I will become more foolish than this because I'm glorifying God and what he has done for me. I think today a close example for what halal could mean for us is when we're at weddings and we've finished up, it's at the reception, everything, all the food is eaten, and it's time to hit the dance floor. And everyone gathers to dance and to celebrate, and sometimes we'll form lines, other times we'll form circles, and people will just do whatever they do, and they'll just dance and celebrate the union of this couple coming together. It doesn't matter how silly we look, it doesn't matter what's happening, we act silly, and then we laugh joyfully about it. We are celebrating this man and this woman coming together in a holy matrimony. That's what it should be like when we praise God, when we halal towards God. We don't care what other people think about how we do things or what other people may think about what we look like or anything of the sort. We are so focused on celebrating and glorifying God for all that he has done for us. That is halal. The next word that we look at is zamar. Zamar is defined as to make music, to celebrate in song and music, to touch the strings or parts of a musical instrument. In Psalm 71:22, it reads, I will also zamar you with the harp. For your faithfulness, O my God, I will sing zamar to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. Or another one you can find in Psalm 98, sing zamar to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. I know we have a couple people here, myself included, who have been either in band or an orchestra, and so this name rings a bell, but even if you haven't, there's a good chance that you've heard of this composer, or even if you haven't heard of the name, you've absolutely heard some of his compositions, and it's Johann Sebastian Bach. Bach was a very famous composer, and his songs, again, are still played to this day in schools and professional orchestras alike. But one thing that isn't as well known about Bach is that he was a very prominent Christian. When you look through Bach's original music, if you look towards the beginning of his scores, you'll read that there are two letters, JJ, there. He didn't misspell his Johann Sebastian, Sebastian. He didn't write that incorrectly. This was Latin for Jesu Juva, which translated means Jesus help. Bach wrote his music petitioning God for help. And at the very end of his compositions, you would often find the initials SDG, which stood for Soli Deo Gloria, which translated means for God's glory alone. So whenever you are playing Bach or you are listening to Bach, you are hearing his expression of how he is glorifying God through music. That is what Zamar means for us. That when we just got done singing these songs, when we use pianos, guitars, drums, our voices, the soundboard to mix everything together, all of this coming together to bring Zamar musical glorification and praise to God. The fourth word that we'll dive into here is Tehillah. And this one is really similar to Zamar, which is why I kind of put them back to back here. But defined, Tehillah is a hymn. It's a song of praise. It's a new song, a spontaneous song. While Zamar is more focused on the music of praise, Tehillah is more focused on the words that we sing, the words that we say. In fact, if you were to open up a Hebrew Bible and turn to the book of Psalms that we've been going through, you would actually find in the title Tehillah, because directly translated, Tehillah is song. And you can find this used in a couple of the Psalms themselves. In Psalm 22:3, yet you are holy, enthroned in the Tehillah of Israel. Or in Psalm 43, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of Tehillah to our God. Many people will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. When I think of Tehillah, I think of musicals. Because with musicals, you can have a character in the middle of conversation. He could be pouring out his heart and soul. You insulted me, and I feel like I need to fight you now, but before I do that, I need to sing about it. Or the other extreme of that is, I'm so in love with you, I can't believe that we're here together, I'm going to kiss you, but before I do that, I'm going to sing about it. Right? That is the idea of Tehillah for us. That we are so caught up in glorifying God and giving praises to God, the only way that we can do it at that moment is just to sing songs to him. It's more than just a catchy tune. It's more than just words on a page. It is glorifying God in the truth and in the praise of the words that he's given us to express towards him. The fifth word that we'll look at here is Shabbat. Shabbat is to address in a loud tone. It's to shout, to command glory and triumph. But Shabbat, as it's defined as to shout a praise to God, it's more often used specifically in when God's people gather together in unison, that they shout in one voice, glorifying God. Psalm 117 is the shortest psalm in the Bible at 2 verses only. So if you want a memorization goal, that's the one to go for. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all people. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise Shabbat, the Lord. This verse tells us that again, all people everywhere across the world should shout praises to God. And I think the best example I can think of when this actually happens, unfortunately, isn't with God, but it's at New Year's Eve. When everyone around the world gathers together to ring in the new year. And yes, I know there are time zones, and so we're not actually all together at the exact same moment, but we tend to celebrate that whenever we celebrate that. For my family, probably for the sake of we wanted to go to sleep early, we would usually ring in the new year with New York so that it was 11 o'clock, not 12. But nonetheless, again, that idea of when that clock is counting down, when you've got 10 seconds left and everyone is shouting together, 10, 9, 8, and then it hits zero and everyone yells, Happy New Year. Imagine having that energy, having that idea brought together towards God. That's why sometimes in churches you'll see people who will read scripture together because they are unifying their voice together for God. So imagine that if we were to do that on a daily basis, that we were to gather together to be so caught up in his steadfast love and his faithfulness to his people, his faithfulness that endures not just today but forever, that we would respond in shouting praises to God. The next word that we look at here is Barak. And it's to have a posture of praise. Defined, it's to kneel, it's to praise, it's to salute, it's to thank. I feel like this one, as I was writing, was one of the easier ones for me to comprehend because of the fact that our cultures have a very high honor respect system. For example, when I was younger, and honestly, even to this day, when we would have visitors over at the house, or if I were to go to my parents' house and somebody was visiting them, we would do something called satuk. And my parents would even ask if they came and I was already there, they would, hey, have you satuked everybody? And this is basically a formal Cambodian cultural greeting that's just offering honor to your elders. And all it is just you put your hands together and you just give a light bow. You take this posture of respecting the people in front of you, respecting your elders. You look at Psalm 103 and it reads, O day of David, bless, that's Barak, the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, Barak, his holy name. Barak, the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The ESV translated Barak as bless here because they wanted us to recognize that this is giving praise. This is giving blessings to God. It is in the position that we are in that we should give glory to God. Another way to look at Barak is with royalty. We don't have that here in the U.S., but when you think of movies that you've seen or even on TV, when you see royalty in the room, you see people bow to them. But it's more than just bowing to them. In royalty, you're not allowed to turn your back to them. So if the king were to walk from this side of the room to that side of the room, you couldn't just stay where you are. You had to keep your eyes and your front facing towards them so that you would not disrespect them, to dishonor them. You had to constantly keep them in front of you. Imagine if that was our posture for worship at all times, that when we enter into God's presence, when we dive into his word in our own private study or corporately as we're doing here, that our eyes, our attention stays focused on him 100%. That we're not distracted by our phones. We're not distracted by what the person next to us is doing. That we're not distracted by what do I have to take care of later today. That when we are worshiping God, our attention is fully focused on him, that our eyes are fixed upon God. That is what Barak encourages us to do, is to have this posture of praise fixed upon God. The last word that we'll look at here is Todah. Todah is an extension of the hand. It's thanksgiving. It's a confession, a sacrifice of praise, thanks for things not yet received. I mean, in that definition, when they say extension of the hand, think of like when we're in line for food. And you have your plate and you're ready and you get to the front and you hold out your plate and you're just waiting for them to put the food on your plate. It's that expectation of waiting that's what Todah is expressing to us. That it's a waiting for good things to come because we can recognize that God has been good and that God will be good to us. In Psalm 100 verses 1 through 5, the title of this entitled psalm is a psalm of praise, and praise there is Todah. So everything is in expectation of the things to come. So it reads here, a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. So when we declare praises towards God, it's because he made each and every one of us and that his steadfast love continues not just for us, not for just our past generations, but for all generations to come. It's recognizing that again, in our past, God has been for us, and in the future to come, God will be for us always. And I feel like this concept of Todah is especially relevant for us right now, that we are in the thick of this pandemic of COVID-19, and you can read through news headlines and just be saddened by it, and you can see articles and hear stories and just be taken down about it. But when we come before God, we can declare Todah because we know that God is sovereign and that God is good. That even though we at this moment may feel defeated, that you can put your trust in God and know that there is light, there is blessing, there is salvation at the end of everything for us. That even if this life were to end, that we enter into salvation, that we enter into eternal life with Christ Jesus. That is what this praise of expectation is, that we are here in expectation of the good things to come later. So these are the seven words of praise. These are the seven Hebrew words that they use to each uniquely define how we are to give glory to God. And the reason that we need to understand each and every one of them is because when we gather, we aim to do all seven of these. That we are worshiping Jesus Christ right now in every single form of praise. That we are worshiping God who came down in the form of a man and died on the cross for our sins. That Jesus, who recognized what it meant to be human, that he felt hunger, that he felt hot, including like right now in this 100-degree weather that we're in, that he understood what it meant to suffer as man. And yet he still went beyond anything that we could do and took our penalty of sin. As innocent as he was, he took it on himself. So that we would have the opportunity, that we would have the capability of being able to be brought together with God. That when God extends his hand down to us, it is only because that Christ died on the cross for our sins. And so if this is the first time that you've heard that, if this is the first time that you've heard this idea of being saved by Jesus Christ, and if this is something that kind of hit homes with you, or if the fact that you're here listening 20, 15, 20, 30 minutes in, whatever it may have been, then know that God is reaching out to you right now and that we want you to respond. He wants you to reach out more. He wants to connect with you. And so if this is you, then I encourage you, our email is in the description below. Would you contact us and reach out to us? We'd love to have this conversation with you. Again, we don't want to pressure you into anything. We don't want to make you do anything you don't want to. We just want to have a conversation to tell you about what Jesus has done in my life, in the lives of our church members, and what he can do for you. And for those of you who are members here at West Houston, then I hope these words encourage you to worship God. Not just here on Sunday, not just here in this 10 to 11 o'clock hour, but it's every day, it's every hour, it's every minute that we yada, we extend praises in our hands to God, that we praise God like fools, that we don't care what the people around us think, that we use the music we make to give glory to him, that we tehillah, we use the words in accompaniment with that in glory, that we shabak, we shout praises to him, that we barak, we take a position and a posture of praise, and that we todah, we praise in the expectation of the good things that God will bring to us. Because even though in our English language, as limited as it oftentimes can be, in saying praise, it doesn't change how majestic and how big and how glorious and how gracious and how wonderful God is to us. And that because he has done all of those things, he is so much more worthy of praise. And so I ask and I offer that to you this morning, that will you praise with us this morning? Would you continue to worship him and to glorify him in all things that we do? Let me pray for us. Father, again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the words that we don't have even in our English language, but that you have and that you have instilled upon our hearts. And so, Father, would you continue to guide us as we go through our days to keep these seven words in mind, to keep these seven ideas of what it means to praise you. And again, we do it not because we are capable, but because you have given grace to us and that we want to offer you this praise because you are worthy and deserving of it. And so again, Father, as we continue through our week, would you send your Holy Spirit upon us? Would you allow it to strengthen us, to guide us, to comfort us when we need it? And again, ultimately, again, would you allow us just to continue to love you, to worship you, and to love the people that you've placed in our lives and continue to be your ambassadors here on earth, that we can continue to tell people of who it is that you are and what you've done for us and what you can do for them. So God, we thank you, we praise you again, all in the name of Jesus. Amen.